guys can have a seat. Oh, you're sitting already anyway. Okay. You're ready to sit. Well, let me ask you a question to start. What's the craziest storm that you've ever been part of? One of the famous Northeast Ohio blizzards that we don't seem to get anymore. Can you think of one of those? Maybe some of you guys have been through a storm that might have even caused like a tornado. Maybe you're on vacation and got to see part of or the tail end of a hurricane. What's the craziest storm that you've ever seen in your life? Well, for a lot of Americans, if you were around in August of 2005, if you didn't see it, you heard about Hurricane Katrina. Was the deadliest storm that's to date ever hit America. It made landfall in Mississippi and Louisiana on August 29th and effectively destroyed the city of New Orleans. If you remember, the reports came out and you remember watching for weeks the different images that you just couldn't believe before your eyes of how this storm destroyed this city. It was a Category 5 hurricane. There's only five categories, five being the largest, the most deadliest. It was a Category 5 at the height of its power. You're talking winds over 170 miles an hour. The storm at its widest, they said, was 30 miles across. And when they finally got through it all, when they finally totaled everything up, there was over $100 billion worth of damages. It leveled that city. You guys remember Hurricane Katrina? So as these stories came out, as we saw the statistics, there was one thing that people began to talk about. There was one thing that baffled people more than anything else about that storm. Do you remember it? It's that almost 2,000 people died. 1,833 people lost their life in a storm in the United States of America in the year 2005. I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. We're talking about a time where internet is going. We have incredible communication where we can let people know, warn people about things. We have the most sophisticated radar in America to track these things. It wasn't like it just sprung up out of nowhere. They were watching this thing come. Do you remember that? We all knew there's a storm coming. They were warning people, you gotta go. You gotta leave. This is not gonna be good. And almost 2,000 people still chose to stay, still didn't make it out. The question was, why? Why didn't they listen? Why didn't they heed the warning? So we can sit here and look at them, but I want to ask you guys a question right now. What if I stood up here today and told you that a storm was coming tonight? St. Paddy's Day, it's coming for you. It's coming for your family. It's coming for everything that you love. And this isn't going to be just a little guy. This is going to be like the mother of all storms. Destructive. What would it take for our relationship, for you to believe me and listen to me? How much faith would you have in me to actually leave here and go somewhere different? How much would you have to love me if I told you, not only is the storm coming, but I'm the only one that knows what to do. I'm the only one that knows where to go. How much faith and belief and love would you have in me to listen to me, to follow me, to do what I'm saying if I told you that storm's coming? Now, what if it were Jesus in this room today telling you that very thing? Are you guys kind of feeling where we're going today? I know you like, you know, I like to play around a little bit. Today, we're talking about life and death. We're talking about something really serious. I want you to feel this today. Because today we're talking about how to be solid in the storm. Anybody going through a storm right now? Anybody know somebody that's going through a storm in their life right now? As you're thinking about that, I want to invite you to turn to our passage. We're in Luke chapter 6. If you got it on your phone, got it on your iPad, if you got a Bible with you, I want you to open that up. I want you to realize that Jesus is ending his infamous sermon today, the Sermon on the Plain. He's wrapping it up. We're about to read the last words. So as you got those, when you got it, I want you to stand up. Luke chapter 6, it's verses 46 through 49. Put my old man glasses on here. Pop it up on the screen here for you too. End of the Sermon on the Plain. And Jesus says this. Jesus talking, guys. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't do what I say. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words. Do you hear his words today? Have you been hearing them over the past few weeks? As everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what they're like. They're like a man. They're like a woman building something. They're building a house. They're building a place where they store things they love, their safe place. They're building a house. And they dug down deep, and they laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but they couldn't shake it because it was well built. But let me tell you about somebody else. Let me tell you about the one who hears my words, but they don't put it into practice. They're like a man. They're like a woman who built a house on the ground. This looks like a good spot. Let's plop it right here. No foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. You guys can have a seat. It's the end. Did you see that? Those red letters end right there. The sermon ends right there. It's fascinating, isn't it? Jesus, greatest preacher that ever lived. He's got his peeps out there, right? Some pretty crazy words. And how do we end sermons usually? It's an altar call, right? Man, come forward. Let's get some prayer. Jesus doesn't end this sermon with an altar call. Jesus doesn't end this sermon asking people to pray a prayer. Jesus ends this sermon with a question and a couple examples. Did you catch the question? We're talking about discipleship questions. We're talking about questions that Jesus asks us as followers. He says, listen, why? Why are you guys going around calling me Lord, calling me ruler, calling me king? You're not doing what I'm teaching. You're not doing what I've been saying. I hear this, but I don't see you living it out. I don't see you walking it out. You ever been asked this as a Christian? This is those moments, right? You post something a little snarky on Facebook. Everybody been there, right? You decide to jump into the conversation and bloop, a person pops. I thought you were a Christian. You're at work. Things get a little spicy in the break room, you know. You start telling a little off-color joke. You start maybe slamming that coworker, and all of a sudden, bloop, I thought you were a Christian. What are they saying? I hear what you call yourself, but that's not what Christians do. Let me ask you guys something. Those of you that call yourself Christians, little Christ-like ones, by the way, that's what that word means, followers. Here's the question today. Do your actions, not your mouth, not your bumper sticker on your car, not your little bracelet you may wear, do your actions, does your life, does the way you live it out, do those things reflect a life of a person that has made Jesus their Lord? which means he rules me. He gets to decide what I do. I remember when I was little, people used to say this, if you were put on trial for being a follower of Jesus, could they actually convict you of that? Old school people remember that one? Woo! If they put you on trial, would they have enough evidence in your life by your actions to actually convict you of being a person that follows Jesus? So let's just look at some of the things. Jesus teaches lots of things, guys. I'm just going back to his Sermon on the Plain here, the things that he's told us over the past few weeks, the things that we've been reading in God's Word. As he's talking to these people, he's saying, this is kingdom reality. This is for the people that want to follow me, that want to learn from me, that want to become like me, that you want to live in the true existence of how God meant your life to be, and it's right here. Our happiness comes from different things, okay? It's not just for money. As a follower of Jesus, man, I can find a blessing in being poor and persecuted and hungry and hurt. That actually when I'm connecting with those people, when I'm realizing what God can teach me through those things, I have found in his kingdom, in his teachings, there's a blessing in that. Is that how you live? Is that your reality? What happens for you when you have an enemy at the job, when you have an enemy in your house, when you have an enemy at Thanksgiving dinner? Are you there to slam them? Are you there to own them? Are you there to shun them? Or do you love them because you follow Jesus? And even when they're dogging you out and running their mouth at you and talking all kinds of stuff behind your back, you're not cruel back to them. You bless them. You pray for them. That spouse that you feel like is just taking so much from you, and those kids that are just taking so much from you, and those coworkers that are taking so much from you, and you just continue to give to them. Because that's what Jesus calls us to do. Because we don't judge. I don't know your story. You don't know my story. How many times have we been in those rooms, and all of a sudden we find out why they were so angry? Why they were so depressed. We don't judge. We don't condemn as followers of Jesus because that's not what he does with us. He forgives. Not sometimes. Not on his good days when Jesus is riding high. Or maybe when we've done a couple nice things in. Always, period. Followers give. We're not takers, we're givers. We're not takers, we're givers. Is your life defined by actions because Jesus rules you? So what's interesting about this, normally we get to this point, right, when people want us to do something in life, how many times have we heard, why do we have to do something? Because I said so. You ever heard that? Anybody grow up with those parents? What are we doing this wackadoodle thing for, Mom? Because I said so. Sometimes as a parent, you got to drop that, right? I dropped that a few times. Sometimes we're just going to do it because I said so. Guys, one thing I love about Jesus, this is Jesus. This is God incarnate in the flesh. Could he easily just be like, hey, do it. I said so. He loves us so much that he is something so many people don't do. You know, when you're asked to dress up for the family photo, fellas, and you got to come out, and I want pastel pants, and we're going with all white tops. Like, why are we doing this? Because grandma said so. That's how she wants it to look. Want to look real good on Facebook and Instagram. There's really no why. With Jesus, we get a why. We get a why. Why is it important to follow him? Why do we do these things? It's not just because I said so, man. Jesus isn't going to make you do this, by the way. He's not going to put you in a straitjacket. He's not going to put a gun to your head. He's pleading. He's looking out here because he knows the future. He knows this world. He knows the hearts of people, man. Jesus doesn't require your obedience because I said so. He desires our obedience because he knows there's a storm that's about to blow. I want to stop there for a minute. This is so important. For people in general, super important for followers of Jesus, people that believe in God. There's a lie in the world now. Actually, it's always been around, right? that do this, go there, have that, and things are going to go hunky-dory, man. 72 and Sunday, sunny, peachy king, right? Date this type of girl, wear these type of clothes, go to this type of school, get this type of degree, work out like this, eat these type of foods, hang out with these type of people, and everything's going to go just fine, right? All the time we're hearing, guys, if you just do this or do that, everything's going to be okay. Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's telling the truth to us, guys. There's a storm coming. Isn't this what all of life is about, guys? If you're alive on planet Earth, either a storm's coming or you're in one or one has just gone by you. Why are we so surprised when storms hit us in life? This whole book is about storms. Peter himself said in his incredible letter, like, why are you guys so surprised when this fiery ordeal comes upon you, man? See, it's Jesus isn't talking about the fact that he's keeping us safe from the storm. That's what a lot of us think Christianity is, by the way, right? Man, I started going to church. I didn't just start going to church. I started dropping some money in the box. We kind of dropped some big bucks, man. And I went to John's little Bible study, and I started reading the books and whatnot, and I still got the cancer diagnosis. Man, I've really been hitting this Christianity thing hard, and now my spouse says they're out. They got someone else. And my kid, who I've been praying for, they're still struggling with alcohol and addiction. And just listen, it's not safety from the storm. Do you notice what Jesus said in that passage about storms? He didn't say if they're going to come, if they're going to hit. He said when the flood came, when the tsunami hits, when the diagnosis comes in on the email, when you find out about the affair, when the truth is exposed to these things. Guys, a storm is coming. It's not a matter of if. It's simply a matter of when. So I want you to catch this. It's Jesus didn't promise safety from the storm. It's not safety from the storm. What he's promising, he promises there's a place, there's somewhere we can go that we can stand solid in that storm. So as he's teaching here, he asks this question, and then he does what happens in this book all the time, what happens in life all the time. Guys, there's only two types of stories, and we're going to see them both from Jesus here. There's warnings, stories that are warnings, and there's stories that are examples. There's stories that warn us of how not to live your life, and there's stories that are examples of how to live your life. Jesus is going to start with the example of how to live. He says, let me tell you what I'm talking about here. The people that come to me, the people that are listening to me, but when they leave, they practice it, they work it out, they live it out, they surrender to it, those are people, again, that they're men, they're women, they're followers who are building something, building a house. And what they do is they dig down deep. They put that shovel in the soil, and they keep digging, and they keep going because they know the foundation is the most important part. Everything starts with what I'm going to build on, not what it looks like, how it comes in the end. How do we start? Where am I going to lay this thing on? And they dig down until they find that solid foundation, until they find that rock, until they find that firm place. Why? Why do they do that again? Because that torrent is gonna strike it. But when it strikes it, man, isn't that powerful words, guys? Can you imagine living in a place where when storms hit, you're not shaken? Why? Because that place has been well built. So I wanna just have a stop and then think about this whole book, God's Word, and again, how shocked we are when storms hit. Do you realize what this book is? This is a book of storm stories. I want you to think about any character that God has used in your life, any story that you've heard, any name that's been emulated. And I want you to start thinking, where's the storm? And you usually don't have to think too long, because they're all storm stories, guys. That's how God moves. That's how God works. God didn't save Noah from the fact that he had to go through the storm. He gave him a solid place to stand while he's going through it. God didn't save Daniel from going into that lion's den. He said, hey, homeboy, I'm going to give you a place that's solid to stand while you're in there. God didn't save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, it's cool, guys, just get out of Dodge. They had to go into that fiery furnace. It said that the king turned it up 7 times hotter because those guys wouldn't bow down to him. God said, I'm not going to save you from that. I'm going to give you a place to stand in it. By the way, do you remember what the king said when they threw those 3 dudes in there? I see a 4th dude in the fire. Who's that? That's our king. We stand on him. Guy's one of the most famous. It's not even just a story. It's a whole book in this Bible. Some people think it's the most ancient part of this book. It's the story of a man named Job. The most righteous dude that lived at that time. And it talks about this fast, it's one of the only times we see what's happening out there in this spiritual dimension that we don't always know that's happening in our life. It says that Satan actually came to God one day, and God's like, what's up? And I've been going out and about. And God's like, hey, have you seen my dude Job? Have you seen that guy? You guys remember this story? So you're like, oh yeah, I've seen him. Like, man, that's a man that loves me. And what does Satan say? He loves your stuff. He loves your protection. He loves all the blessings. What if we sent a storm? What if it were all taken away? I wonder, God, I just wonder what Job would say then. I wonder what Job would do then. And God lets it happen. A storm comes, knocks down his house. Kills all of his kids. The cattle's gone. The stuff is gone. Job's whole life, all of this stuff that God's given him, in a moment, the storm took it all away. What does Job do? He falls down on his knees and he praises God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan goes after him then. Remember this? God goes after his body. What if we hit his body with some sores? Says that he was given boils and blisters, and he's in such pain, he's just sitting outside in ashes and agony, and he's scraping himself with pottery. And his wife, it's amazing, the wife's left. Remember what she said? She comes out and says, Job, what are you doing, man? Just curse him. Just end it. And his friends come, and they're like, Job, you had to have done something, man. God doesn't send storms on good people. God doesn't take away things from people. Just tell us what you did. Something had to be wrong. The wife's telling him to give up. The friends are telling him basically to give up on God. What does Job say? One of the most incredible lines, guys, that we know from this big book that a lot of us just take such heart in. To see this man standing there with virtually nothing left, hurting, in pain, man. Though he slay me, even if he takes my life, the only thing I'm not willing to lose is him. Yet, I will have hope in him. What does that marriage look like? What does that community look like with people with that kind of faith? What does that church look like with people that are willing to walk through any storm and know that the only thing I'm not willing to lose is him, because that's everything to me. That's what God wants for us, guys. So we read these stories, and the Bible's full of them. Why? Why would God include that? I wouldn't. I'll tell you why. Because he uses his faithfulness in these storms, in these stories, as we read them. How many times have people been encouraged watching Moses rely on God, walking through the wilderness? You're thinking about your own wilderness journey. I saw what he did. I know how God got him through. He can get me through. We look at Job's story and we think about all the things we're going through, and we see his faithfulness and encourages in ours. Over and over, God uses these stories to help us get through our own storms and encourage others in theirs. Do you know that's really why we're here today? Like, well, I'm here to hear you, John. Well, thank you very much. I'm so glad, guys. Yeah! No, it's really not why we're here. The Bible tells us we're here because we're supposed to be spurring one another on. We got stuff to do. Love, good works. It's why we don't give up meeting together, by the way. Man, we're supposed to be sitting here encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. You know what that word encourage means? It means to give courage to people. You know why you need to give courage to people? Because life is freaky. Life is hard. Life can be lonely. And so we get here and we tell our stories and we share our life. And the things that you think you need to hide are the things that God is trying to bring out so we can encourage one another. Once, twice, no, man, all the more. Because I read the whole book. It's hard to the last page. We need to encourage one another. What's happened in your life? Are you sharing your story? By the way, guys, that's why we pushed all this stuff. We had a bunch of events today. Nothing magic about coming to any of these things, except for one thing. When you leave this big room and you get into a smaller room and you can get around with some people, and you know what happens? You start hearing their stories. You start sharing your story. And something incredible happens. You realize, I'm not alone. I'm not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. There's some other parents that don't know what they're doing. Did you see our little banshee run around here this morning? You're trying to, like, oh man, I'm not the only guy. Can't control these kids. That's why we want you to come to men's group, by the way. That's why we want you to come to a women's group. That's why we want to see you at a life group. That's why we want you to have breakfast with the boys. That's why we want you to go have some tacos and testimonies with the ladies. That's why I want you on the Red River trip. That's, guys, why we want you Friday night at Avon Lake, 9 p.m. We're going to tell some stories there. Can you show up to hear some stories and tell people your story and encourage some people that might be walking through a storm? You're sitting by people today that walked in here looking for some help, looking for some hope, and God's brought you through some stuff, and you're just going to walk out today and not share your story? Guys, we encourage one another. Let's be that church. I want to challenge you something. This is a goofy challenge. Start showing up a minimum 10, 15 minutes early. Why? So you can share your story. So you can check in on somebody else. You already know we ask you to stay afterward. Start showing up early. You are the story. People need to hear your story. And it's one thing to share our stories, guys, but probably the most powerful thing I've seen. Because where does this storm happen? It starts out there, right? But where's the real storm at? Some of you know right now. This room feels all calm, but there is a hurricane in some of you right now because the storm is right here. The storm is right here. We're sitting in a room that's almost silent, and there are some storms that are raging, and there's some people hoping beyond hope that maybe just somebody, I'm not asking them to fix me, I'm just asking them to stand beside me in the storm. I could just use a little help. I could just use somebody by my side. See, God's word tells us, we complicate this thing so much. Look at what it says in Galatians. Paul talking to these people, telling the church how to be. Says, guys, I want to tell you something, man. People are going through some stuff. People are jacking up their own lives in a lot of ways. I want you to talk to them. I want you to be with them. But listen, here's the thing. When you bear, listen, by the way, it doesn't say fix one another's burdens, does it? Does it? Isn't this what we worry about? Oh, man, here they come. I got to fix Adam. And, oh, my gosh. And the boy hasn't got it yet? No, no. Don't say fix. It says bear. Stand by him. Bear one another burdens. And so when we do that, we're doing the stuff. We're doing all the stuff. That's what God wants for his kids. Help each other out. Man, if I brought you through some stuff, you're going to leave your homeboy stranded? You're going to leave your girl just like hanging out there? We bear one another's burdens. This has been the single most drastic change in my Christian life, the moments that God brought people along in the multiple storms that I've been through, that I'm going through, that have simply stood there in my storm with me. I could tell you so many, but I want to tell you one in particular. I want to talk about my wife today. Get emotional just even thinking about this. Young dude, married, we have Jack, our only son. We're living in this crap cottage in Sheffield Lake. It is garbage. We call it the Smurf Hut. The roof was caving in. Place is torn down now. It's torn down. I'm working at Bob Evans, down on the farm, you know, wearing my little string tie. Back in the day when they wore the string tie, I look like Colonel Sanders, people. I really look like him now. You know, I'm working hard. 60, 70 hours a week. It's a restaurant business. You're there all night. The customers are mad. The employees are mad. Upper management's mad. I'm mad. And I've been at it for a long time, man. I'm just trying to get a raise. I'm just trying to get a break. I'm just trying to get ahead, man, and keep my wife happy and my kid happy and them happy. And that. And guys, the storm starts, right? We start spinning in here. Man, God, I can't do this. I don't think I can get there another day. Anybody feel me? Anybody been there as a single mom? Anybody been there as a mother? Anybody been there as a dad, as a brother, as a son? I got something going on. It's so out of control. God, please, you just got to get me out of this. You just got to get me out of this storm, man. And I came home one night. It was another late night. And it's just on me, man. I'm thinking, I can't do this. All right? And I'm trying to calm down. I'm trying to drag myself into bed at probably 3 a.m. I know I got to get up at 7 because my wife has to work. Why? Because I don't make enough money. Because I'm not man enough. And I'm not good enough. Isn't that what we hear in the storm, guys? Isn't that what we hear? She'd probably be better off without me. Hey, I'd probably be better off without her. I'd have a lot more money in the bank, wouldn't I? Maybe I should just let it all go. The storm's just raging. I'll never forget that night, man. Danette knew what I was going through. She knew what I was going through. I was struggling. Wasn't exactly following Jesus, but she was at the time. And I laid down in that bed, and I can't get a grip. And I'm so hurt, and I'm so sad, and I'm so anxious, and I'm just, you ever been there, guys? I'm in bed, and the whole bed is shaking because the storm inside me. It felt so goofy. That's just life stuff, right? But I got the storm inside me. And she's trying to sleep, and I'm just trying to keep it together, but inside I'm like, God, why? Come on, man. Just give me a break. Throw me a lifeline, like something, God. I told you I can't do it. You're supposed to fix this. But I'm just laying there and I'm shaking, but I got the storm inside me. And I'll never forget. God's so good, man. My beautiful wife, at some point, there was no words being spoken. Baby, okay? Wrong thing to ask. I'm sure I dropped some F-bombs. I'm sure I just blah, blah, just most embarrassing moments as a man. Basically, just I can't, try not to cry, but here they come. It's not. She's just laying there behind me. I'm turned away. I don't want her to see this. I don't want her to see this storm. I'll never forget that night in bed. She knew me so well. She said, listen, I'm so sorry you're going through this. John, I'm not preaching at you. God knew I needed to hear that. She said, John, I'm not preaching at you. I know you don't like Christian music. I hated Christian music at the time. I jam out to my Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Rage Against the Machine. Had cheesy Christian stuff. Not for me, man. She said, I know you're not into this, but I heard this song, and I know God was speaking to me, and I think he's speaking to you right now. The song, oh, man, sometimes he calms a storm. And she said, the chorus goes like this. She said, babe, sometimes he calms a storm because he whispers, peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. And sometimes he just holds you close while the wind and the waves go wild. Sometimes he calms a storm. Other times, he calms his child. In that bedroom that night, that woman, gave me the best prayer by just, she just wrapped her arms around me. And the storm didn't end that night, guys. What I realized, I had someone that loved Jesus. Therefore, she loved me. And she was going to do this stuff because she knew it's our job not to go get it together. What's your problem? Maybe you need to take a pill. Maybe you just need to go to a counselor. She realized the thing that I need to do is help my, I need to be Jesus right now. I'm just going to stand beside him in the storm. Is there anything more powerful when the wheels are coming off, when the walls that you thought you so carefully built of your life, or maybe not so carefully built of your life, it's all crumbling down, and the roof is going crazy, and you're screaming so loud, and you think there's no way anybody's coming. There's no way anybody hears me because this storm is too loud. And that one person, at that one time, somebody comes along and says, I'm right here. I can't make it go away, but I can stand beside you. So it'll change your marriage. It will change your friendships. It will change this church. Bearing one another's burdens. It changed my life. Jesus gives us this example. This is what people do that follow me. But there's a warning. Did you see the warning? Did you hear the warning? There's another guy. There's another girl, the one that hears, nah, no. You ever hear people walk out of church, I just didn't really get anything out of that day. I just don't feel like I'm getting fed. This is God's word, guys. Not my word. I didn't make a manifesto last night, by the way. We're reading God's words, okay? People come to us, oh, what should I do in my marriage? What should... We're trying to point people to Jesus. The goofiest question you can ask me is, hey, John, what do you think? No matter what I think, no matter what Jesus thinks. So we hear what he says and we put it into practice, but this person didn't. Because they're like a person that's had to build a house and thought, this place looks pretty good. Plops it down, no foundation. You guys know the story. Is it a question if the storm's coming? No. It's just a matter of when it's coming. No foundation, thing collapses, thing's gone. It's destruction. Didn't lose a fence. They didn't lose the trampoline out the backyard. It says that the destruction was complete. I wonder how many marriages are destroyed because people just refuse to do what Jesus says. I wonder how many relationships are destroyed in the neighborhood, in the office, in the church, because people refuse to do what Jesus says. I wonder how many holiday dinners and gatherings that were destroyed and are no more because people refuse to do what Jesus said. We're asking God, what are you doing? He's like, I know exactly what I'm doing. You guys won't do what I'm telling you to do. That's where the destruction is coming. Can you hear the love in his voice? So let's end like Jesus did, guys. We're going to leave it like this. Here's the question today. I asked you, man, well, what would it take if I told you a storm is coming? That's, let's just take that out of the thing. Jesus is telling you there's a storm coming bent on destruction for you and all that you love. Are you going to be solid in that storm? Let's go back to New Orleans for a minute. As they started to research this, you know, why? You know, we warned people. Like, why didn't people leave? Why did people die? We were communicating. What was the issue? You know what the issue was? Why people didn't heed the warning? I got pets. I'll leave my pets. Where am I going to take my pets? And I don't know, man. What are the facilities like where we're going? I don't know. That just seems like a hassle getting the car. Is the storm really going to be that bad? I mean, are we really sure? I mean, destruction. Maybe we could just ride it out. Hey, what if we leave and someone comes in because it's not that bad and they take all my stuff? Like, there's all these reasons. They didn't take it seriously. What about us? What about us today? And I see from so many believers, the issue is like, man, it seems like a lot of work, digging deep. Coming to church all the time, hanging out with these Jesus people, guys, one of the worst mistakes we can make is leave here today and think that that this is on me. This is something that I got to do. This is where we really have to get real about God's word, what Jesus is saying, right? Oh, now I got to go. I got to start building hard, right? Unless the Lord builds the house. It's called surrender. Unless the Lord builds the house. What do I think? Doesn't matter. I'm letting the Lord build this house. I'm building on his words. I'm building on what he says. Because anything I do, any shovel that I'm putting in the ground, any digging that I'm doing, no bueno. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Guys, this is good news. There's good news before we leave today, man. This isn't about you pulling yourself up by the bootstraps today. This isn't about you getting real serious about your Bible time. This is about you surrendering to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Guys, we start where he finished. Do you remember what he said? Do you remember what he said before he breathed his last? Woo! It's a good start. Can't wait to see what's next, man. Rolling. Maybe in a couple centuries, a single. What did he say? It is finished. Isn't that beautiful? You know, I don't got to figure this. It's not figuring out, guys. It's following. I follow in the work that he finished. So I want to be real clear today, because there's some people in some storms. There's some people like, that's me, dude. I ruined the marriage. I ruined the relationship. I ruined the thing at work. I've ruined some stuff in this room. And it, yeah, man, it's destroyed. It's bad. I guess it's game over for me, right? Guys, the good news with God is it's never game over. If you're sucking air on planet Earth, it's never game over, because with our God, the things that look impossible are absolutely possible. Today, the message that he wants you to know, man, even if you feel like you're dead in all of this, look at this, man, what he did through Jesus. It's because of his great love. God, who doesn't have a little bit of mercy, he's like, I kind of parsed a lot out there to Sam. Don't got much left. He's rich in it, guys. He's rich in mercy, and he made us alive. Do you realize that? Like, it wasn't bad. We were dead before. He's made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead and all the dumb stuff that we've been doing. Feeling dead today? He wants you to leave alive. You need to be smashed by the storm? No, guys. What Jesus wants you to leave is knowing it's by grace you've been saved. He can save you today. He can save you every day. Every day of my life, I need a salvation to stay solid in that storm, because he's got work for me to do, to encourage my brothers and sisters, to be in a light in a dark world, and the same for you there. How are you going to leave today? Smashed, destroyed, or solid in him? You know what the best part is, man? When you build your foundation on him, people start to think you have a superpower. Why does this stuff never affect you? Some of you Christians know what I'm talking about, man. God changed my life when I was. I don't have to let this storm smash me anymore. When I follow him, I begin to have some solidity to me. I'm not that same guy having a meltdown in my little lake house. I'm a different man because I'm built on something different now, something solid. But you know what? The last thing I want you to think that it's me. And I love, I'm going to end this with the Apostle Paul's words. When you begin to look at these people, when you see some of the people in this room, you think, oh, they got it all together. Here's what they want you to know. Here's what Paul wanted us to know. Here's what I want you to know. Mm-mm, it's not me. Oh, I got something. I do. I love when people see it, by the way. It means God's working in me. It gets addictive, guys. I've got this treasure. I've got this thing. I've got this power in this goofy bag of bones, this sack of flesh. I've got something inside me, this all-surpassing power, but it ain't me. It's not from me. It's from God. It's from God, not from us. Oh, and am I safe from the storm? Oh, no. I'm hard-pressed. Again, did you see my banshee? Did you see what's happening up here? If you're married, you're hard-pressed. If you're working in a place, you're hard-pressed. If you're living on planet Earth, you're hard-pressed. But we're not crushed. I'm not crushed. Am I perplexed at some of the stuff happening in life right now? You best believe. I do not understand a lot of things. I'll be walking through stores, looking at people. I get perplexed. But you know what? I'm not in despair like the rest of this world. That's not how I roll. Am I persecuted at times for looking different, for being different, for loving people that people tell me that I should hate, that I should give up on? Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm not alone. I'm not abandoned. It's when God's just love shines on us. That's my boy. He's loving people. He's giving to people. And are we struck down? Oh, man. Sometimes the storm, it hits pretty hard, right? We fall down, get knocked down. I'm struck down, but not destroyed. How are you going to leave today? Will you leave today as just someone that says you're a follower, or will you walk out of here as a true follower of him? Because God didn't fail Noah. God didn't fail Daniel. God didn't fail Joseph. God didn't fail Peter, Paul, John the Baptist. Is God going to fail you? Is God going to fail me? Is God going to fail us? He won't. He won't. So, Father, as we go today, Jesus, you know the hearts of the people out there. There's people walking through a storm. There's people walking through a battle. There's people walking through something. They're sitting right beside somebody right now, terrified about what's happening in their marriage. They're terrified about what's happening with their children. They're terrified about what's happening in this country. They're terrified about what's happening in their mind and their heart, and the storm is having their way. Jesus, in your holy, powerful name, I pray right now that your words of love, that your words of power, that your words of mercy, the fact that you finished everything on that cross, you paid for everything on that cross, I pray that with all that going on in the storm, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to them right now. You're not alone. There's another one in the fire. Someone standing right beside you. His name is Jesus, and it's pure love, and he never fails. Holy Spirit, let him know. And I pray that they don't make it out of this room. I pray that they don't make it out of this building without somebody having the courage, if no words are spoken, someone to come up and put their arm around their shoulder, someone to grab their hand right now, maybe someone to literally just swallow them up in a hug. Just, you're not alone, dude. You're not alone, honey. But Jesus, more than anything, let us be a people that stand firm on you so we can be solid in this storm of life to shine so people will know where that safe place is. And we pray it all in your holy name. Amen.